Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stage Right, the show that looks at the lack of conservative voices in theater and asks, why? With your host, Rocky Benisher.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't wish all my listeners a happy, joyous Easter, and also to my Jewish fans out there, a wonderful Passover, or Pesach. Hello, everybody. This is Rocky Benisher, and I want to welcome you to Stage Right, the show that looks for conservative voices in theater, and we're having some trouble finding them. But we do; they do crop up every now and then, as some of the guests we've had on this show will attest to. My number here, if you'd like to give us a call, is 347-884-9659. That's 347-884-9659. Or you can write to us at stagerightaudio1@gmail.com. stagerightaudio1@gmail.com. And I want to remind you that we are, as always, supported by our friends at Xander Business Group. They provide social media monitoring and online risk assessments for your child's online presence. Again, I ask every time that I announce this, are you parents aware of what your children, your minor children, are doing on the internet, on Pinterest, on Instagram, on Tumblr? That's a new one I heard about. I don't know what it is, but Tumblr, and of course the old standbys, Facebook, and Twitter, of course. Well, if you don't know what they're doing, then there's a good chance that they are not doing something you want them to do. And we see instances of people's postings getting revealed, much to their detriment and embarrassment. So if you want to save your child from that or worse, I would suggest you contact Xander Business Group, because the internet never forgets. And it's even more important now for parents to take a proactive role in protecting their child's safety as well as online reputation. So you'll want to contact Xander Business Group for more information. And they're reachable at 760-865-9614. That's 760-865-9614. Or by emailing info, at Xander Business Group. That's X-A-N-D-E-R Business Group, all one word, .com. All righty. Well, we've had a lot of things going on in the news today, lately, that you may have noticed. The one I want to start with was, of course, the biggest surprise of all. If you follow the Final Four of the basketball tournament, and I have to tell you, I really don't. I am not a big fan of basketball in general, but watching the Kentucky team go down in flames last night was fascinating and entertaining, and gives you hope for the underdog. And Wisconsin, congratulations to you. But we probably all read this morning that Andrew Harrison made a slur against Frank Kaminsky. I'm going to point out, but I'm sure I don't need to say this because it's not important, but Andrew Harrison is black and Frank Kaminsky is white. Furthermore, I wonder if the name Kaminsky might sound like, oh, I don't know, Jewish maybe? I don't know. Anyway, asked a question about Frank Kaminsky, who is not Jewish, by the way. He's Frank Kaminsky III, and you know the Jews don't put numbers behind their names. When asked a question, one heard Mr. Harrison mutter under his breath something like F that N-word or something like that. Well, clearly he knows Mr. Kaminsky is not black, so it was whatever a racial slur. I'm not seeing a lot of it in the media. Isn't that fascinating? They must have just missed that. His mic was live, and oops, and of course he went on Twitter afterward and said, oh, really sorry, I didn't think, he said something to the effect of, I didn't think it would be perceived this way. Well, what way did you think it would be perceived, Mr. Harrison? And I would venture to guess, and I have no proof, but I venture to guess that the name Kaminsky probably said to you, this must be one of those rich Jews, so I hate him anyway. way. And then, of course, came the retraction, which, you know, I guess everybody is going to accept. Now, had it been reversed and Mr. Kaminsky said something, which, of course, he wouldn't, but had he said something against Mr. Harrison, maybe the same terminology, F and N-word, well, I have a feeling it would make front-page news. I don't know why I think this way. As Mrs. Lovett said, you know, these ideas just pop into my head, and I keep thinking. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting to start with. And we've been hearing a lot about relationships, not only amongst the different colors, if you will, but also religions and things. So this week, I asked my listeners out there through via Facebook if they could identify for me or offer for me what the left might do with all the things that are happening in the country right now. When will we start to see plays, musicals maybe, or operas, or some kind of theatrical showcase about the things that are going on now with of course, a left-wing slant? I got some great answers here. This is, and these are from different Facebook groups that I'm going to promote here in just a moment. So Dune, yeah, that's what his name is, Dune, from the Tea Party Conservatives for Freedom movement said he would see a play entitled Ferguson Hands Up. The plan being partially in place and the reason why they continue to lie. Hands up, don't shoot. That was a bunch of BS. Well, who are you going to believe, the forensic scientific evidence or the what you want to believe? You know, it's funny how the scientific evidence is something that the liberals say conservatives pay no attention to. We are, as you know, anti-science. That's the new one. You have to be anti-something. Anti-science when it comes to things like global warming. However, the science that showed us that hands up, don't shoot was a complete fabrication. You know, it's that one's okay if you doubt the science, isn't it? Okay. So that was Dune from the Tea Party Conservatives for Freedom. There's a wonderful group out there on Facebook, the Conservative Libertarian Fiction Alliance. And I would urge you all to check that out because this is where conservative and libertarian voices can be heard. As it pertains to the creation of fiction and creation of art. LibertyIsland.com is another one where you could go for that. Anyway, Matthew on Conservative Libertarian Fiction Alliance site called it The Phantom of the Government, a new musical telling the tragic tale of a misunderstood genius who just wants everyone to realize that they should follow his orders or else. That's it. I wonder who that misunderstood genius is. You know, there was I read something on the internet recently, the most intelligent presidents ever. And, you know, somehow they came up with a IQ score. Barack Hussein Obama was not there, which in itself, I imagine, is racist. Anyway, Alan, also from the Conservative Libertarian Fiction Alliance, says he doesn't have a title, but he can see a story of a quote-unquote normal gay couple who just want to raise their family in peace, being pursued by a right-wing nut job who believes that homosexuals are an abomination and wants to ruin their lives. Yeah, I can see that happening, right? Isn't that a little bit what that stupid Kushner play, Angels in America, has as an underlying theme? So excellent, Alan. Now, Scotty Roberts from the Conservative News Alert, another good Facebook group, said, you know, there actually was an opera called Nixon in China. So, provided such frivolous entertainments are allowed by the merciful mullahs who keep Sharia pure in Ameristan, this is great, isn't it? Maybe we'll see something like, quote-unquote, Barack and the Invisible Fortress of Fordo. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, we probably will. That sounds like a kid show. And Scotty also said he heard that Princess Val steals the show with the aria sung in flawless Farsi, Persia, you have my heart. So this is, and we know Princess Val, of course, is Valerie Jarrett. And that's Scotty on the Conservative News Alert. Wonderful answers all, and I think we all have the proper sarcastic, satirical look here. Hey, speaking of Nixon in China, I kind of thought of that too. And Nixon in China, I don't know if you remember that. It was first done in the late 1980s, but there was a revival of some kind going on at the Metropolitan Opera in New York. So I pulled up the New York Times article that talked a little about it, and of course it starts off political. The world of opera, it says, or the performing end at least, is no Republican Party bastion. Well, what do you know? The composer, John Adams, very ironic, he says there was a panel discussion that the Times covered. And he says, quote, I suspect nobody at this table to my left voted for George W. Bush. You know, they have to say it. That's a very important point. I guess nobody here, so we're all on the same page here. We don't like George W. Bush. We're devout lefties. And all the people that were there, there was the person was saying the title role, the set designer, the choreographer, the director. Says Peter Geld, the Mets general manager, declared himself apolitical and willing to take donations from all. Yes, I'm sure. And Mr. Adams said, I certainly had my issues with Richard Nixon, especially in the early 70s when I got my draft notices. He definitely was not one of my favorite people then. Yes, well, of course, as is typical of the left, it is for selfish reasons that we dislike somebody like Nixon, because this guy could have been drafted, Mr. Adams could have been drafted and actually had to serve for his country. That's why he doesn't like Nixon. I suspect, though, if it were a Democrat in office, he'd find a way to return his love. But Mr. Adams worked on the opera in the late 1980s. He said he grew to realize that Nixon was, quote-unquote, an interesting character. Uh-huh. Interesting character. You know, folks, when you hear the word interesting, that is the code for I've got nothing to say. Interesting is the most overused word other than nice. It is the most overused word, and it means absolutely nothing. It is rhetorically insignificant, rhetorically weak. All right, so I had some ideas, okay, of what the left might do. Here's one about Netanyahu. Benjamin Netanyahu going before Congress and the chilly reception he gets from the White House. That will call that BB, it's cold outside. How about the new death of a salesman? New death of a salesman. The salesman in this case is Crystal O'Connor, who owns Memories Pizza in Indiana. You know, she's the one who dared to say, I will not cater a gay wedding because it offends my senses. How dare you have a point of view, Miss O'Connor? How dare you ram your religion down the throats? Even though you said you would serve gays, not good enough. Not only should you go to cater that gay wedding, you should freaking officiate it. Get your online divination, your online I forgot what the word is, when you become a religious, when that you can conduct a ceremony. I can't even think of the word. Go online and get that. Okay, so there's that. So that's the new death of a salesman. But we also have this musical, and I think Sondheim might be considering it, Crystal O'Connor, the demon pizza maker of Wolverton, Indiana. Rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it? Yeah, but we'll see Kristen O'Connor or somebody representing her soon enough on stage showing what bigots those right-wingers are, right? Those horrible bigots. How about, speaking of Ferguson, I know I had Dune talk about Ferguson before. I've got one called East Side Story. East Side Story. That's because Ferguson is in East Missouri, and that is a show, I think it'll be a musical, where Hands Up, Don't Shoot is portrayed as truth, okay, despite the scientific evidence. Remember, global warming, that scientific evidence is irrefutable. The science is settled. The forensic science behind the death of Michael Brown, that racist, you know it. You know it. Ferguson Burning is another one. That might be a movie, Ferguson Burning, which, of course, they did. That wouldn't be about the fact that the way that the Ferguson inhabitants dealt with the grand jury and the decision, and then ultimately Eric Holder's decision not to prosecute the policeman. They did what any civilized group would do. They burned the city down. Okay. We have another one here I like. This is Book of Muslim. Book of Muslim. Now, you know that this would never make it. Book of Mormon, yes, because, let's face it, white Christians, or even if you don't think Mormons are Christians, they're a white kind of cult. They don't, we can make fun of them, right? They can take it. But Book of Muslim, let's not do that one. Huh? But Book of Muslim. I think I'm going to do that one. I'll tell you an idea that I have, actually, and that is, and this will probably, feel free to call me at 347-884-9659 if you have a comment on this. I want to do a Raisin in the Sun, all white, an all white Raisin in the Sun, and I'll tell you why. Because right now, I think it's off-Broadway, there's a show where Alexander Hamilton is black, a black rapper, and that's fine, but I know I read somewhere. I think Thomas Jefferson's black in that one, too. I read somewhere that these guys were not black. I know I read that. Maybe I saw it on a $2 bill. I saw Jefferson was not black. Whatever it was. So I would like to see Raisin in the Sun done with a white cast. Not in blackface. A white cast, because the themes of oppression know no racial boundary. Isn't that right? It's everybody, right? Everybody's lives matter. I know a left-wing professor, I forget which school, got in trouble because she said everyone's lives matter, and they, you know, came back and said, what are you, crazy? Only black lives matter. Okay. All white Raisin in the Sun. I'm going to see about staging that. And then also taking out a large life insurance policy and getting myself some bulletproof clothing. Because they'll come and kill for that, just like they want to kill Crystal O'Connor at the pizza place in Indiana. All right, finally, I've got another one by Tom Stoppard. Religious Liberty and Tolerance Are Dead. That's a new one by Tom Stoppard. It can take place in Indiana, but it can also take place in the 19 other states who have those books, those laws protecting religious freedoms on the books. However, you realize that Indiana is a red state. Therefore, we must protest it. Connecticut, which has the same laws, is a blue state. Therefore, we can give it a pass. Indiana is a red state run by a red legislature. We must attack. The original people who created this law were Chuckie Schumer, Democrat from New York, signed by Bill Clinton, Democrat from Arkansas, or the local whorehouse, one of those. And that is all okay. They get a pass. Because their heart's in the right place. Everybody else, go right after you. If you're a red state, if you're Chick-fil-A, if you're Hobby Lobby, anything like that. So, all righty. So those are my additions to the wonderful ideas of what the left might bring us over the next few months on stage, because stage is the reflection of reality, I guess. So thanks to Dune, Matthew, Allen, and Scotty. Beam me up, Scotty. Just had to say it. All righty. So I want to talk a little bit about a play that was written by Mr. Hank Kimmel. Now, if you listen to last week's show, you know that Hank Kimmel was a playwright of a somewhat conservative bent. And we read a couple of his plays. I had read Fairy Tale Ending, right? And then we also read the play Holiday... What was it called? Here it is. Welcome to our holiday show about the way political correctness has destroyed any concept of Americanism, I guess, what you might want to say. Anyway, so Hank has this fascinating play called Class Dismissed. We didn't have time last week to talk about it, but I wanted to build in some time today to talk about Class Dismissed. And Class Dismissed is, by his own description, a satire. Here's what Hank has to say. He says, at a time where the education system in the United States is coming under fire, The teacher of the year wants to make sure no child is left behind, even if that one child isn't sure about how much he wants to come along. Class Dismissed is a 10-minute play, and I talked about this with Hank last week. What the heck is going on with these 10-minute plays? Anyway, that takes a satirical look at our education system and the standards used to measure success. Play requires two actors, a white male school teacher and a black high school student. The roles could be played by two females. Play requires minimal staging and minimal props. Hey, folks, if you want to produce this play, you know, you could write to me at stagewriteaudio1@gmail.com. You'll never get to me if you try the first one. stagewriteaudio1@gmail.com, and we can I can get you in touch with Mr. Kimmel, see about getting this play done. But here's the thing about it. It is a white teacher and a black student. So right away, that's going to tell us there's something going on here with race relations, right? I mean, it's explicitly stated this is a white teacher and a black student. So what's going on here? The satire is this teacher wants to win the Teacher of the Year award and wants his or her, but in this version I've got, it's both he's. Teacher wants the student to sign a letter of inspiration. Now, as we go along, we find out that this student is the only student in the class. Though child is left behind, this is the one student. And so that is brought up comically throughout the play. Interestingly enough, this student is very articulate. And at one point says, he says to the teacher that he lives in a 6-bedroom house. The teacher says to him, there's no better thing than serving the disadvantaged. And the student says, I live in a 6-bedroom house. And the teacher says, but your basement is unfinished. And the student also reveals that he has biracial parents. So what Mr. Kimmel's playing with here is, some of the stereotypes that the black must be underprivileged and the guilty white must feel a need to serve the underprivileged. And don't get me wrong, folks, I am not here saying that we should not serve those who, or help those who are not as fortunate as we. That is, after all, the crux of most major, he's going to say the word, religions. Oh boy, religions. Oh, I shouldn't have said it. Now they're going to come after me. I'm sorry, folks, I have just imposed my religious beliefs on you on Easter. Terrible. Okay, so the teacher talks about that he idolized his teacher growing up, and he was inspired to become part of the Great Society. We know what that led to. And that was a thing that the left, at least Lyndon Johnson, initiated, in theory, trying to keep alive the vision of John F. Kennedy. If you read about John F. Kennedy or Lyndon Johnson, they were pretty cynical about race relations. Kennedy really didn't want to be bothered about it until it led to votes. Johnson, on the other hand, said we'll pass the Civil Rights Act and then those N-words will vote for us forever. We'll lock that vote up. So he was right. So anyway, it's revealed later on that the teacher has systematically gotten rid of everybody else in the class, with leaving this one black student. The student says to him, I can understand shipping Jake to Brockwood so he can increase his chances of playing pro ball, or encouraging Felicity to pursue her Broadway dreams because she wasn't coming to school anyway, or convincing Mrs. Rimsky that her twins would be better off at a military school instead of succumbing to prescribed medicine. But when you snagged Elisa, Seth, and Jose for living out of the district, don't you think that was going too far? So this teacher has put in his machinations and kind of gerrymandered his own district there. He only is left with one student who, if the student signs the letter of inspiration, then the teacher becomes Teacher of the Year. Okay, so a little further on, the teacher talking to the student says, "You've been the lead in every dramatic production." The student says, "All one person shows." Teacher says, "But plus you're the president of the student council and the debate club," to which the student says, "The only person I get to debate is you." The teacher then responds, "All right, don't sign it. Go out and play on your own, but don't count on me for dodgeball. I'm going to stay in and work on your next lesson plan." So what we've got here are teachers, or at least this teacher, let's just say this teacher, really not caring much about the student. I haven't had a chance yet to talk to Hank, and that's my fault because I wasn't able to get in touch with him in time to ask about this, but I imagine he will respond to me and we can talk more about this next time. But isn't it very typical that the teaching profession, which professes to be all about the student, is really all about itself and is really all about its benefits? And yes, I know, don't call or write and tell me there are hardworking teachers in my family. I get it. There are very good teachers out there. As led by their union leadership, their very, very rich union leadership, teachers are really all about themselves. We had an incident in Ohio not that long ago where they went on strike for a couple of weeks because of, you know, some discrepancy in their pay or anything like that. I don't know what it was, some bargaining position. But the ultimate loser there was the student. And, of course, we read all the passionate parents supporting their teachers and the children on the picket lines. Well, anything's better than going to class, right? And if the students are having that good a time in class, I can only imagine what they're learning. However, you know, that's the whole point is that these teachers are not concerned with the students. And, you know, I'll back off from that. The union is not concerned with the students. I'm sure many, many teachers, dedicated people are, but their union does not. We know all about that. Anyway, the student ultimately does sign the letter of inspiration, and the teacher is going to be awarded this wonderful Teacher of the Year honor. And then that was it. And then the student says, "I think when you receive your award, you should probably say nothing, and especially not use the word evolved." And the teacher says, "Take the cash." The student says, "And then take the class out to lunch." The teacher says, "Frank." The student says, "Yes." The teacher says, "Class dismissed." Okay, so the number of questions I have is why does it need to be between a white and a black? And yes, it could be played by two females, but specifically it says it needs to be a white teacher and a black person. So what is that saying about the dynamic here? And because Hank Kimmel is not buying into it, some of the stereotypes of the black being underprivileged and needing all the help, he's setting up some kind of a conservative point of view, I think. So I want to talk to him about class dismissed. We're just about out of time. So I didn't get to talking about David Marcus, so I will next week. I want to talk about his ideas about privilege. I'm going to try and line up a couple more guests for the coming week. But I want to tell all of you once again, wish you all a wonderful, wonderful Easter. I was always dismayed by how many stores were open on Easter. And I'm not Christian, but it bothered me. So I really hope that you are celebrating this wonderful day with your families. Jewish folks out there, enjoy the Passover holiday. We're into day three of fun foods and fun times and glue. But at any rate, I want to wish you all the most wonderful of weeks. I want to thank you for listening to Stage Right. We're here every Sunday from 1:30 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Look for us next week. We'll have another exciting show. And once again, give us a call. Write to us next week. Write to us during the week. StageRightAudio1@gmail.com. And you too can join the fun. So for right now, this is Rocky Benisher, and we are exiting Stage Right.